Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. Yeah, welcome to another episode of Integration Excellence. And I have a guest with me today, Mike Saschka. Mike, we know each other since a while now. We met for the first time, I was checking this recently, on the BTP Con in Isenhagen, close to Hanover in 23. So it's been a while now. Since then, we also met with some, you know, at some partner events, BTP partner events with SAP. So yeah, welcome. Happy to have you here with me, Mike. And I would hand over the stage to you to, yeah, maybe introduce yourself, tell us a little bit who you are, where you come from, what you do, and then we deep dive into our topic, Kafka and CAP.
Yes, thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me, actually. And yes, so as you said, we first met at BTPCon, and also the second time was in the area of BTP. So that basically explains where I'm actually coming from. So yes, I'm freelancing, self-employed developer, consultant, solution architect. Yeah, highly interested in modern SAP technology. So I had the opportunity to work on BTP like from 2019. So I was like, in my former company, we actually built products on BTP. So we actually started at Neo, then shifted to Cloud Foundry. And I was also able to do some customer projects where I actually get in touch with a lot of BTP stuff around application development, but also like integration. So I worked on in cloud integration, API management, event mesh, etc. And yeah, that's really interesting and lots of technology to use. Yes, but I'm also have a traditional SAP background. So my entry point to the SAP world actually was analytics, BW. So I'm also familiar with the ABAP world, UI5. But again, like my main focus area is actually everything around BTP.
Mm-hmm. Great. Cool. Nice. Yeah. And, I would say, I mean, you would say you are more a developer or more an integration person. So because those for me, those two people are, or those two personas are quite not always the same profile, and having a little bit different mindset. So where would you locate yourself?
Okay, I totally agree with you. As I explained, like I had the opportunity to actually work on both ends, also do integration, which actually helped me a lot to actually also get like an integration perspective on things. But I would say I mainly am a developer by heart. I like coding and building applications. So that's actually my main area of interest, I would say. But again, like I've worked with cloud integration, API management, et cetera. So I also got into this part. But I would totally say that in this round, you are the expert on the integration part.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's funny because from a pure integration perspective, software developers are sometimes a bit risky, sometimes a bit dangerous people in the organization, because they say like, oh, we can call the API directly. Oh, we can do this here. We can do this in the code directly and so on. And that is always something that, it's definitely a risking point. Yeah. And if you think about what is technically possible and what you can do and what is maybe best from a governance or from a strategic perspective, from a enterprise grade application run, perspective. But yeah, that's how it is.
Yes, I can understand this, but like there's no black and white here. So there are, again, I can understand it. Things I have to admit that potentially I also use shortcuts whenever possible. But yeah, I get the sense that like, especially in big organizations, governance is a big topic. And sometimes not the fastest way is the best way to go. So, but yeah, that's like really actually good introduction to our today topic today, because like I think this actually is precisely at this spot where you can go this way, you can go this way, and there's some scenarios where the other one makes sense. So
that's true too. That's true. Good. So maybe just to warm up and to start into the topic, especially for, you know, most of the audience is mainly integration oriented. So maybe some people don't even know what is CAP. I guess probably 99% have already heard about Kafka or even worked with Kafka. But CAP is maybe something not known to everyone. So can you explain, you know, what it is, what is the core idea behind or what it consists of? And just to explain a little bit what is behind.
Yes, of course. Well, CAP is it's short for Cloud Application Programming Model. And this basically, so let's start from the beginning. So in the past, there was like, you had this, your SAP system, which is a monolith ABAP stack where you can do everything in ABAP and everything on stack. And but that's like still somehow possible. But the idea from SAP introducing BTP, like the cloud platform, is to not do everything on stack anymore, but to use the BTP for actually those two scenarios, right? So for integration, but also for development. So if you want to move out certain things, more complex scenarios, you don't do this on stack anymore, but instead go to the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then you are actually leaving this monolith ABAP stack. So you can still do ABAP stuff in the cloud, but there's also like the opportunity to use other programming languages. So on BTP, you have like the Cloud Foundry runtime, which basically gives you freedom to use Java, Python, JavaScript, or any other programming language to actually build applications, services on top. And while this freedom is actually great, there's also like you still need some guidance, right? And basically SAP came up with this cloud application programming model, which basically is a framework at its core, but also like a set of best practices on how you should build applications on BTP. Because if you use CAP and follow those patterns, then you get a lot of boilerplate done by the framework. So it really greatly connects to the platform itself. So there also authentication, authorization, HANA as a database layer, even event mesh or event integration scenarios, then you really don't have to do much coding because the framework itself connects all the dots to those services. And yes, so this basically is CAP. So it's a framework available in Java and JavaScript, Node.js. And I really like it, because I think it's really, really cool. So when you look at offerings by SAP, you oftentimes find this, that they basically took something, some existing solution, especially in the integration sector, integration suite, when you look under the hood, you still find other stuff, and they built like a layer on top. But actually, CAP is something that they invented by themselves. And I think that they really did a great job. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're like interested in this, there's also a nice YouTube series by one of the developer advocates, DJ Adams. Mm-hmm. He does things every Friday where he talks about stuff. And there's also a nice one where he like with the core architect of CAP, Daniel Hutzel, they have a session or multiple sessions talking about the art and science of CAP, where they like go into the details and explain a little bit about the core concepts and why they choose to do things the certain ways. And it's, I think it's really explains that this is like really well thought out, and it's actually really great to use.
Nice, nice, cool. And that means that if you build applications on CAP, it ends up in, for example, Node.js application that is deployed on Cloud Foundry.
Exactly. So you can run it on Kima, like the other runtime as well. But yeah, it's focus on easy development and deployment on Cloud Foundry.
Cool. Okay. Okay. And the, let's say, alternative to CAP is RAP, right?
So if I understood as well. Yes, one of the alternatives is RAP. So there's, of course, there's ABAP on BTP. And basically RAP is also a ABAP RESTful programming model. So it's a modern way to actually do ABAP development, which is also quite nice. You cannot only do this on BTP, but also like on-premise systems. So it's also for if you develop stuff on stack on-premise, then you should also should use RAP. But like there's still this thing that even there's ABAP in the cloud, it's still like a monolith system. So the core idea of CAP is that it really have isolated, focused, I wouldn't call it microservices, but like modular apps that are doing a specific thing and that can scale very well. Like if you have certain functionality, you can actually have multiple instances running and then without spoiling and have an effect on the other apps. Whereas like in the ABAP world, you are all still on this monolith system stack. So yeah, it's like, it's a little bit different. So this one is cloud native, CAP is cloud native, the idea is cloud native, whereas RAP is still like coming from the traditional SAP developer.
Okay.
Yes. And then, of course, you can actually bring your own stuff, right? In BTP, you can have whatever you want running, but then you have to take care of basically everything by yourself.
Yeah. 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 I learned that, you know, Cloud Foundry is nothing else than, I mean, in simple words, maybe it's wrong, like a, you know, pre-configured Linux box with a specific set of RAM CPU power, that is, you know, for example, if the application is crashing, it restarts the application, you know, some self-healing mechanisms inside. But in the end, it's nothing more than that. It's like a small virtual machine environment, right, where you can deploy stuff on that can be anything. Yeah, so that's really cool. Yeah?
Yes, actually, that's a thing that I really like about BTP as well. Like, if you look at other hyperscalers, you have lots of options. You can also like build your Docker containers and the Kubernetes infrastructure. So sometimes this is necessary if you have like really big solutions in place. But oftentimes, if you want to build a small application, then you just want to build this application, deploy it somewhere and have it running. And that's like precisely where Cloud Foundry really is good. Because as you mentioned, like you have this small isolated container. It basically comes with a Node.js runtime if you want a Node.js. And you just really build the application, deploy it there, and it's running. And yeah, that's actually very easy.
Yeah, that's cool. Back in when, you know, there were physical TechEd sessions, I think this year will be the next one in Germany. But I remember there were some in Barcelona a couple of years ago before COVID. It was quite nice, actually, to, you know, you could walk through specific steps to build your own application, to deploy it and run it and, you know, have it in a trial account and experience this without even having detailed knowledge about it. It was quite straightforward to build very, very simple stuff. But it can be also super powerful, right? So you can do a lot of great things inside, which are maybe not super easy, but well managed and well organized, right?
Yes, and that's like also like a big surplus. Like if you're coming from a traditional SAP background, you know that projects may take a while because of the complexity of the system, the complexity to get things together. And like it depends, highly depends on the use case, but you're like able to spin up a CAP application really within minutes to have a database layer and then OData service on top. So it's really, really, really great.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so now let's dive into the integration side of it. So our main topic today is Kafka, and Kafka is not a, you know, SAP owned solution. Let's say it's you know, it comes from Apache as a framework, and in most of the cases I have learned, if you speak about Kafka, if you deal with you know, Kafka brokers or environments, you oftentimes have Confluent in place, right? Which is a productized version of Kafka, hosted and managed by a SaaS provider, Confluent, where you can run your Apache Kafka instances and you know, connect to it. And as there is no native SAP ABAP support, right? I think you can integrate through an add-on. I think we also had a session with Asapio, who are also focused on SAP ABAP integration towards the brokers, not only Kafka but also Solaris and Event Mesh, of course. Let's dive into the Kafka topic without going into event-driven, technologies and the need for event-driven integration. I think we covered this in other episodes of this podcast as well, and you can find a lot of stuff around event-driven integration. But I was reading a blog from you, Mike, and then which is, by the way, also in the show notes, so have a look. Yeah, it consists of two parts, so it's quite extensive and quite detailed. It's a really great blog explaining how you can connect to Kafka, sending and receiving data from CAP. Yeah. And I thought, like, why would we need this? Why is it really necessary to have this? Because, in my simple world, we have a Kafka adapter on SAP Integration Suite, cloud integration. Yeah. We can send data to a topic. We can consume data from a topic through an integration layer. Everything is great. Why would we do this directly from an application on CAP? So, maybe you can explain what was your main motivation behind it and how it was done, actually. What was really, would be good.
That's a very good question, actually. So let's potentially go one step back. Again, like, talk a little bit about CAP, but only a small amount. One of the core features, I really like CAP also because it basically integrates messaging natively inside of the framework. So basically, event-driven architecture is a first-class citizen here. So of course, you need to handle synchronous stuff. Like if you want to respond to an OData service or read stuff from the database, then of course, this has to be in sync. But again, like there's a central messaging capability built inside of CAP where you actually do not really need to deal with the broker, but instead have a central messaging service, and the communication with the broker is abstracted away in an adapter, for example, right? So you can connect to this and do a little bit more specific stuff, but you don't need necessarily to do this because it's really greatly built in. So my main motivation, a big topic, you can tackle this from multiple angles. So let's potentially start with the main motivation. I think, as you mentioned, inside of the SAP world, Kafka is not that big of a topic. Mainly because of product management decisions, they have event mesh in place and they want everyone to use this. So this is the main focus area. There's also I'm not sure if you know this, there's this business application or cloud application event hub. So that's an idea to event mesh is actually part or advanced event mesh part of the whole integration suite package. So you have to go big if you want to use it. The application event hub is something that seems to be native functionality that will be provided as part of BTP. So you get this basically for free, which is something that's not happening so often in the SAP world. Mm-hmm. Currently with some limitations because you can actually consume events that are being sent by SAP systems, but you can actually not really create messages as of now using this event. Mm-hmm. But again, SAP has its broad strategy around what they want to offer in the ecosystem, and also if you have an S4 system, and as you mentioned, you talked about this in the past, event-driven architecture becomes a thing. It's becoming more and more a thing. S4 is capable of emitting over 1,000 different events as of now. So if you look at the business accelerator app, you find lots and lots of events, but they all can only be piped through Event Mesh or the SAP architecture. Right, so it's really not. You can use external tools to actually go different routes, but mainly if you stick into the SAP universe, first you will go this way. Actually, one interesting aspect, technically this, even if it's not really a thing for the customers, the clients, actually, if you look at, I looked at the source code of CUP, and I actually found a Kafka adapter already be available, which is limited to, so you cannot connect to the outside world, so you can only use Kafka services on the BTP infrastructure, but they are not actually available for customers. So which, like, if you read between the lines, potentially they are using this inside of SAP. And I heard some rumors that they use it a lot for actually building their own applications. But again, like from the product strategy perspective, they don't want to offer this to the customers. So yes, but if you like raise your head and look over the edge of the sub-organizations, and that's basically something that you potentially would agree on, is you find Kafka in many places. And that's also my experience, right? So I don't know.
Definitely.
You're the integration expert, but...
Kafka oftentimes is a holistic strategy to many organizations. Yeah? And they say, like, you know, every event that goes through the organization, be it from SAP or the non-SAP world, has to go through Kafka. Right? And sometimes we have to really implement solutions where we are, you know, getting a message through event mesh, for example, and then we have to take it and route it to Kafka using the Kafka adapter, which is quite quite funny. Yeah, if it would go directly to Kafka from SAP, it would be much easier, right? Because it then would serve the strategy immediately. Yeah, but customers and organizations are afraid using add-ons and additional solutions oftentimes. And now when it comes to be, you know, is it clean core or not? It's another challenge, right? So of using add-ons. So the more you stick to the standard, the better you are. But ideally, the more you can simplify your architecture, the better you are off as well. Yeah. So why would you have to operate multiple brokers? Yeah. If you are having a, you know, global decision for Kafka already, that's a thing. So yeah. But from that angle, I can understand that it definitely makes sense to have a very native and very direct integration from an application into a broker, yeah? Because it makes much more sense to natively integrate with an eventing platform, right? And it's sometimes strange that it's only that event mesh is so pushed, although it's not even an SAP solution, right? It's not built by SAP. It's under the hood, it's Solus, right? So unless SAP is going to buy Solus, this this is going to be still a combined offering and not a pure SAP offering. But yeah, nobody. I mean, I can only speculate. We can only speculate about this, right?
Yes. And I mean, like, that adding to the fact that, like, the initial version of Event Mesh, while at its core, it did provide, or still does provide, core messaging capabilities, like really integrating this with, like, a central event bus outside of the SAP world is what's not possible, right? So with advanced Event Mesh, you have, like, this bridging stuff where you can actually bridge events to and from the outside world, like also from Kafka. But if you're not running event mesh or advanced event mesh, you're like still in this, captured in this ecosystem. And so basically this like was one of the core motivations actually to also provide native Kafka integration capabilities for CUP. Actually, the main motivation that I used this in the past. So you actually have... So basically, you can use CUP for multiple things, right? You can like build extensions to the S4 system, like to move things out, and you still rely on data that's inside of the S4 system. You maybe consume events that are coming from the S4 system and then build something on top. But you can also use this in isolation, right? So you can actually build products, SaaS solutions on BTP and also like distribute them. And then potentially you have not direct connection to either to S4 or even to integration suite. Right. So if you have multiple applications running and they want to communicate with each other in an asynchronous way, then I think that's a valid scenario to introduce some other functionality, right? Mm-hmm. And CAP itself has native support both for multiple messaging solutions, like Event Mesh, of course, but mm-hmm. also like there's Redis PubSub support, so where mm-hmm. you don't rely on Event Mesh, but you also can use this. And like, again, like Kafka is very powerful. It is like used almost everywhere. And so why not use this in such a scenario as well? Hmm. So basically I'm talking about like two scenarios. So this one scenario and the other one would be potentially you have data connected to your S4 systems, but you actually, and that's like, actually you are an integrator and you try to focus on governance and stuff, but sometimes potentially it does not make sense to actually go all the way through the event bridge and route everything to multiple channels to get this information out or in. But instead, like if in an organization like Kafka is the main messaging channel, and then potentially it's also okay to actually directly connect to this. Like there potentially is also governance already in place regarding this, and you don't need to go the extra route to Event Mesh or through cloud integration, because like there are several adapters like you mentioned, so you can use cloud integration. It has native sender receiver adapters. You can go through advanced Event Mesh, not the smaller Event Mesh, but the advanced Event Mesh, which has like the event bridge where it can like bridge those events. And there's also like, I think there's other connectors like in data sphere you can connect to that.
Exactly.
So there's like many points where you could potentially take a route through, but sometimes it just makes sense to directly connect this. And then it's mm-hmm. like also the developers speaking, like if I can really build an application fast and I have to wait like for a couple of weeks to actually having dealt with all the integration stuff, then I mean, if this was the production use case to actually have this route through, potentially to build a small prototype and to get things running fast and build proof of concepts, then it would also make sense to actually direct connect to this. To meet the governance part for now, but add it later on.
No, but I also don't see it as an issue or as a problem connecting from an application directly to a broker, because a broker for me is part of the integration stack. It's part of the integration layer, and therefore it's not treated as point-to-point integration anymore. Yeah, it's bad if you, for example, have two microservices talking directly to each other through APIs without going through an API gateway, for example. Yeah, that is bad integration because it's point to point. It's simple, it's easy, it's quick, but it's bad. Yeah, it's nobody, except for the developers and from the project, nobody later on knows that this exists. Yeah, if you're not going through a gateway. But if you go through a broker, it's clearly visible and you know, you can see that, you know, certain things are used, are still being you know, in place, and then they are relevant, and it's still, you know, active, yeah, and we can put things on it to control it, yeah. So I see a clear tendency that applications directly connect natively with brokers, yeah, and going through a middleware like cloud integration is just another option to do this, right? So then it makes totally sense not only go through Event Mesh or other PubSub brokers from CAP, but also to Kafka, and that is great, yeah. And maybe you can explain what you've done to achieve this, and what needed to be, you know, added, what is on top of the, you know, let's say, vanilla delivery, what to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So maybe one thing to add, like, there's also like certain limitation if you only use CUP. So basically it's in the licensing that you are not allowed to actually use this to extract data from the SAP system and push it somewhere else. So that's also like things that you need to take into account if you mm-hmm. use this. Okay. Yes. So what did I do? Actually, I did not really did something groundbreaking. So I'm a solo developer. I actually connected the dots. So I have used this in the past. There are like multiple ways how you can connect to Kafka. There's Kafka Connect on the lower level, but there's also like libraries for certain programming languages available. So what I basically did is I took Kafka JS, which is a JavaScript implementation, and yeah, actually build an adapter for CUP so that it really plays nice with the internal APIs. Again, like as I mentioned, CUP has really great support for messaging. Like there's native integration for things like an outbox. So you have like, even if you emit a message somewhere, then it's not directly sent, but it's like queued internally inside of a system. And it try to be emitted. And if the broker does not respond or if it cannot be emitted, it still stays in the queue. So you have something like that letter queue, basically built inside of the framework. So that's really nice. Yeah, that's really nice because it, again, like there's something potentially that Kafka, for example, does not provide out of the box. So this is all handled by the framework. And again, like then this just quotes the transport protocol, like connecting to topics, sending and receiving messages from there. So basically the Kafka specific parts that I actually built in. And as events and messaging is a native concept inside of CUP, it was just really adding this adapter to the existing functionality. Mm-hmm. So this was basically like the first solution, and it's also what I explained in those blog posts. I took my time to actually explain this in more detail, but I actually want to showcase that it's really easy to integrate. So there's like in CUP examples on GitHub where developers can check out some example CUP stuff that SAP is providing. And I basically shown that by simply adding the configuration for Kafka, you could switch things and use Kafka as a messaging platform, and you don't need to change a single line of code to actually get this functionality baked in, which is, again, I think really, I've done a good job, but like the framework itself does a very good job to make this easy. Cool. Yes, so that was like the idea for the first version to actually get this on par and use it. And yes, I last week, actually was a CUP conference where I also had the opportunity to talk a little bit of about the integration. And I was trying to get things ready, but sadly I failed. So I will like push the next version, I don't know, in the next 2 weeks or so, where I basically focused a little bit more on native Kafka functionality. Because like there's some core concepts that are not like available in the messaging functionality inside of CUP, and also not, which you do not really find in event mesh, for example. Or things are different, like, for example, like there's native cloud Kafka stuff, like you have to deal with keys in certain scenarios, right? So if you have, so at its core, Kafka is really simple. It's about topics and consumers, producers, consumer groups. But if you have like scaleless architecture and have parallel processing and stuff, then you potentially might want to use keys, because then things are sent to the same partition inside of a topic and stuff like this. And this is not a first-class citizen in CUP, so I basically introduced mechanisms to actually handle those scenarios as well. Mm-hmm. And there's, for example, the whole serialization stuff, which will be added. Actually SAP is, everything is evolving around cloud events as a specification for how events should look like and what they should contain. And even if it's an open standard, I think in the Kafka world, there's different things in place. So you have your AFRO a lot, which basically is two things. It's like an opportunity to describe the structure of an event. right? So there's like, if you have a schema registry, and this is optional, an optional part of Kafka as well, to have a schema registry where you can define the structure and bind this to a topic. So it's, yeah, so everything that goes into the topic is well formatted, and you know, even as a consumer, that what you get out, so there's no surprise here. Mm-hmm. So AFRO can be used to actually describe this structure, and also like you can serialize data that will be stored inside of this topic with AFRO, for example. And then mm-hmm. it will not really look like what you send from the application. So it will be stored internally in a different format. But once you write read from the topic, the data needs to be deserialized to actually be in the original format. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that I like built in the latest version, which I think is pretty great, because like you mentioned this before, that stuff that I'm not an integration expert, so I have not seen many, many Kafka instances, but I hear that this is like also de facto standard, and it's not yet supported by even in those integration scenarios with cloud integration and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still on the roadmap, and customers are waiting for it, because oftentimes a prerequisite of using Kafka is that you have to be part of the registry. You have to be well aware, you know, what you are sending or receiving as a consumer or producer. And organizations are enforcing this, and just connecting and pushing data or consuming data from a topic or to a topic is oftentimes not enough. Yeah, so this is great. So you will be ahead of the cloud integration delivery, I hope, and a really good alternative in that sense. Yeah? And even if you could think about having a let's say very simple microservice that just transforms all data calls or REST calls from a cloud integration into AFRO formatted Kafka message, that would be nice. That would be also nice, you know, as a technical microservice, huh? In that sense, to bridge the worlds.
Yes, I actually have not thought about this as well. But yes, that's potentially a valid point that this could be used.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Nice. Very good. Yeah, so this is still what you are enhancing. So yeah, we'll be happy to add this as well to the show notes if we have it by the release of the episode here. Good. So I'm just thinking, did we cover everything that is important for the episode? I think yes. Mike, would you say, what would you say? I mean, we always give our interview partners a chance to have a call to action, or to the listeners to what to do, what to go next, what to try out. Obviously, everyone is invited, I guess, to connect with you on LinkedIn, and I will be sharing this as well. Have a look at the blog post. But yeah, Mike, what else would you say?
Yes. Actually, the plugin itself is open source, so it's available on GitHub, so you can check out the source code. You can easily integrate this and build a small prototype for yourself. And yes, if you use it, like, I'm really interested in any sort of feedback. So sadly, I did not receive much feedback on... So actually, I have multiple open source plugins, so not only covering messaging with Kafka, but also other stuff. So there I receive a little bit more feedback on Kafka application itself, not so much, but it was like super interesting at the recap conference, where some people came to me and said, oh, you, one woman actually said that I saved the whole project because they could use this and actually integrate. I was super happy to receive such a feedback. So yeah, try this out, get in contact with me. If it does not work for you, then we can look at this, how we can potentially fix this. If it does work for you, then I'm also interested in any feedback. So yeah, that's like the basic message. Perfect. And in case you are developing, like you could potentially read through the lines, but I'm a big fan of CUP. So look into this if you want to build stuff on BTP. It's super awesome. Yes.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. That was an interesting episode. I really enjoyed it. It was great having you here. And maybe we can have a next round on this in a couple of months, and then see what has been done in the meantime, and then maybe how things evolved in the Kafka world as well. So it would be great.
Yes. Just send an invitation and I'll be there.
Cool. Great. Thank you, Mike. And thanks to all. Let's talk and see each other again. Bye.
Bye.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA. That's WHINT.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.